We are going to pick up from last week, but I will tell you this, tonight is our normal quarterly business meeting. We don't have anything new to deal with tonight, but just reports. And so I think about 10 minutes or so, Sherry will probably be coming in with business meeting papers and minutes and reports so we can go through that and get that approved. So we only have about 10 or 15 minutes probably. But we're going to jump back into 1 Corinthians. So turn to page 263 and then also turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and probably, the first few chapters. Just kind of put your tent stakes down in the first few chapters. And we'll pick up where we left off last week and get through a little bit more of this. So last week we introduced the letter of 1 Corinthians. And we saw where Paul was when he was writing the letter. He was in the town or city of Corinth on his second missionary journey. Remember that Corinth was known for two things, for wealth and wickedness. And you might say that describes a lot of cities and places today. And you may be true with that. But in particular, Corinth in that world of that day was very much known for that. And also told you that if you're trying to make a person go astray, it was called Corinthianizing someone. Because the city was so wicked that they used the word Corinthianize to describe describe wicked people. I mean, I really don't think there's anything you could imagine that would be evil in a society that would not have been found in Corinth. So really wicked place, wealthy place. And in that place, Paul travels, shares the gospel, Holy Spirit moves, and a church is birthed. So Paul now writes back to that church. And we left off last week sharing how if you read about the church at Corinth, you really have a hard time trying to justify why anybody would name a local church Corinth Baptist Church. A lot of problems in the church, a lot of theological issues, moral issues. And I've only ever seen once, like literally seen a local church named Corinth Baptist Church. And I'm not sure why they named it that, but it is what it is. But it's really not a good example of what a church should be. And yet these still are saved people and they're struggling as they're trying to do what's right, but they are in a very pagan society. So you think America is bad? It doesn't begin to compare with the city of Corinth. Now we've got some cities that compare to Corinth. I assure you of that. But overall as a nation, we're not quite there yet, although we might end up there at some point. So at the bottom of page 263, there are several reasons Paul wrote this letter to the people in Corinth, the church there. And I'm going to put these back up here, but we already talked about them. So number one, there's lots of division in the church. Remember that the key word or theme for the first letter Paul writes to Corinth is the word unity. And the reason for that is they were so splintered. There were kind of cliques in the church, some following after a religious leader over a different religious leader. And it was causing all kinds of confusion and problems. And more than likely caused some people to leave that local church and probably wish they could have started a new one. But then you'd have all kinds of little churches that were splintered off because people were upset over leadership. He also reminds him of his preaching. That when Paul came in, he did not come in with big PhD words. He just came in with the gospel and preached Christ and him crucified. Then the third reason we looked at as to why he was writing the letter, the people of Corinth were acting just like the city of Corinth. And although they were saved people, they were living like the world. And that is a definition of a carnal Christian. It's very difficult to determine if a carnal Christian is really saved. Because they're living so much like the world that you wonder, is the Holy Spirit really in them and changing them and directing them to be more Christ-like? But if you have a Christian living like the world, that's called carnality, a carnal Christian. And there were so many carnal Christians in that church at Corinth. Another reason he was writing was to address some of their fleshly ways of living. Then in chapter 4, I think we left off with this last week. Paul basically called them out for their perspective that they were acting, that they were big and bad, and there was an arrogance and a pride, and they thought we can do what we want. Remember I told you last week to quote Joe Rogers, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And so they're thinking, well, Paul's not here, and so in their arrogance, they're doing what they want, and they're thinking he's not here to correct us, to discipline us, so we're good to go. And so he also addresses that in the letter. And remember I told you last week that he gets very, well, he kind of gets forceful, and by the time you get to 2 Corinthians, he's pretty much had it, like up to here. And he goes off, as much as an apostle can go off to these people in Corinth. So those were the first four reasons Paul wrote the letter. Now let's start with number 5, or pick up with number 5, and this is in chapter 5. So in the church in Corinth, what you read about in chapter 5, there is immorality in the church. And Paul says it is so bad that the outside lost world is almost not as bad as what I'm seeing in the church. Now, we have been called as Christian people, as a church, to be distinct from the world. And if you go into a church and it feels like you're walking into a movie theater or walking into a Walmart, there might be something wrong. There should be something different about the church. And so what you were observing, what they were observing outside the church with immorality and immoral practices, Paul says it's happening in the church and y'all ain't doing nothing about it. That's the real issue. I don't think he's arguing the church has to be perfect. But what he is arguing is, if there's sin in the church, deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, are you still a church? It calls for discipline. So in chapter 5, first verse, Paul says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you in the church, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. And then he spells it out. Now he doesn't use names, but he spells it out. He said, here is the immorality, that someone has his father's wife. So now you've kind of got a little bit of a potentially incestuous type relationship here. Obviously against a moral code of the Old Testament with marriage and sexual relations. And I don't know, I don't even know how to unpack this. Like, I truly don't. But whatever it was clear to everybody in that church. And Paul says in verse 2, the problem is this, you've become arrogant and you have not mourned about this. It's not even bothering you that there's immorality in the church. You have not mourned instead in order that the one who had done this deed might be removed from your midst. That's called church discipline. And we'll talk about that probably the next page or so. Yeah, the next page. So I'm not going to do that now. But basically, we are called to hold each other accountable. And when someone, and listen, we're not all perfect. We know that. But honestly, the most loving thing to do when you see a fellow brother or sister in Christ and they're not living the way they ought to be living, and you see that within the church, even outside the church, the loving thing to do is to one-on-one go to that person and express your concern and hope they'll see the error of their way and come back to the way of righteousness. Well, in this church, it was an obvious public example of immorality. And Paul says, y'all aren't addressing it. In fact, you're not even mourning about it. You don't even feel bad about it. Corinth Baptist Church. That is another reason he writes the letter. Now, I don't know what number I'm on. Maybe number 6. Here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 6th reason that is given in the letter as to why Paul picked up the pen while he was in Ephesus and sent this letter back to Corinth. So you see that your book says he wanted to answer questions in their letter to him. Now, here's what I want you to notice. And if you're not a careful student and reader of Scripture, you'll read over this quickly and not realize that this is giving you one of the reasons for the letter. So look at the three verses that are mentioned here. Okay, look in chapter 7, verse 1. I'm just going to read the first part. As Paul is writing the letter, he says, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote." Now what does that mean? That means that Paul had received a letter from the people of Corinth, and they're asking him questions about theological issues and other issues going on in the church. So one of the reasons Paul writes this letter back is to answer the questions that he had brought up, or they had brought up in their letter. And remember, there were three individuals who came over to Paul, people from Chloe's house. They came over and they probably delivered to him this letter. And they're asking questions. We want to go to the apostle. What does Paul say about this? So chapter 7, verse 1. "Now concerning the things about which you wrote," and then he addresses that. Chapter 8, verse 1. "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols." See, everything in their letter had a bullet point, and Paul is plucking off the bullet points to address the issues they bring up. Then chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren." Okay, so every time he says that, he is addressing a very specific topic that the church was asking him about. One of the reasons he writes a letter is to answer questions in their letter to him. And the last reason that he writes the letter, according to the list in your book, and this is a biggie, in chapter 11, you have what I consider to be the clearest teaching about the Lord's Supper, out of or beyond the four Gospels themselves. In chapter 11, and about halfway through, your book says about verse 21, but halfway through, Paul has to address the way they're messing up the Lord's Supper. Now, I told you, did I not tell you that I don't know why any church would be named Corinth Baptist Church, Corinth Methodist Church, Corinth Presbyterian Church, Corinth Catholic Church? I don't care the flavor. I don't know why you would use the place name of Corinth. So many issues. And here's a big one. I would argue that if a church can't get everything right, which we can't, nobody will, you better at least get the two ordinances right. Right? There's two ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper. These were ordained or commanded by Christ for the church to observe, and very specific reasons for that. In the church of Corinth, they were messing up the Lord's Supper. And basically, when you read in chapter 11, you can kind of piece some of this together. Some of the people were showing up for the Lord's Supper drunk. Like, they were having a meal, we would call a fellowship meal. I think they called them agape feasts. They would have like a fellowship meal as the church would meet, and they're going to observe the Lord's Supper. But he says some of the people were showing up there, and they were drunk. This is a serious matter with the Lord's Supper. And then he says some of y'all are like butting in front of others in line because you're rude about it. And so because of that, it's in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians we find the warnings about the Lord's Supper. So if you want to mark it, I know it's in your book around verse 21, 22. But if you look back in verse... Well, just look at it. Look at verse 20. He says, "Therefore, when you meet together," he says, "when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper." I don't know what y'all are doing, but it ain't observing the Lord's Supper. "For when you come together to eat, each one of you is taking his own supper first. One of y'all is coming in hungry, and another is coming in drunk." Then look what he says. "Don't you have houses in which to eat and drink? Why do you come to the church and make a scene when it should be observing the ordinance that Jesus gave to us? Or do you despise the church of God?" And then in verse 23, it's where he unpacks the Lord's Supper. "I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you. Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." And he goes through the different parts of the Lord's Supper. And then in verse 27 is where he gives a warning. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. For that reason, let a man examine himself. He goes on in verse 30 and says, if you don't examine yourself and you eat damnation to yourself, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died. Now, when I read this before we observe the Lord's Supper, it's the context of Corinth. They're messing it up big time. And I don't know for sure, but if Corinth Baptist Church had a church cemetery, I think when Paul addressed this, he walked over to the window in the church building and he said, let me tell y'all something. You are so violating the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. Some of y'all are on the prayer list tonight at church because you are not partaking in the worthy manner. It's God's judgment. Then he said, you see that cemetery out there? Some of those who are in this church have died in Christ and have like fallen asleep all because they did not partake in a worthy manner. It's a serious matter. Corinth Baptist Church was getting it wrong. They were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper. So in that context, Paul urges them, examine yourself. You will never be worthy to partake, but you can partake in a worthy manner. Right? And that's why we say, all right, Lord, if there's anything in my life between me and you, forgive me of sin, cleanse me so I can partake in a worthy manner. This is all in Corinth, okay? Every time we observe the Lord's Supper and I read the passage here, it's in the context of the church in Corinth. Now, these are reasons why Paul is writing this little letter. Lots of problems in the church, lots of confusion. For some reason, they didn't even list another really serious issue. Well, there's at least two other serious issues in chapter 12. They got the use of spiritual gifts wrong, had to address that. And in chapter 15, they got the resurrection wrong, had to address that. That's a core issue. If you get wrong a core issue, that is really dangerous territory for a church. And I don't think your book even lists those here as reasons, but we will touch on this on the next page a little bit. But those are some serious theological issues, practical issues in the church. And again, I just don't think that Corinth Baptist Church is a good name for a church.